Just a couple of words about myself, so you know who is standing in front of you and speaking about writing a business plan. My name is Natalia Rodionova. I am a senior manager in PricewaterhouseCoopers in Moscow office. And I'm a team member of a team called Center for Technology and Innovation. And this is a recent initiative by PricewaterhouseCoopers globally, not only in Russia, to support high technology companies and to help them growing from the very early stage and to pass this way up to IPO or successful exit from the business. So, and I'm here to try to help you to think about the business planning and why do you need it. So probably you've heard a lot of times that you should tell in the beginning of the presentation what you're going to tell, but I don't want to tell what I'm going to tell. I will tell you what I'm not going to teach you today and what I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to teach you financial modeling today. I'm not going to teach you market analysis today. But I will try to help you to reach the right mindset so you think about your business a little bit differently. And you think about your business as if an investor, as an investor looks at it, because even if you are not putting money into your business, you know, big amounts of money, you are still an investor because you decide whether to invest your time into this or that business, whether to proceed with it, and what to do next. So my presentation will be mostly pictures, and all audio and video and sound will be me. So let's start. Unfortunately, we have quite a lot of people here, so I think we don't have too much time to get everyone introduced. So, but I'm very interested. How many of you are outside of Russia? Cool. Well, really impressed. And that's even more interesting because I assume that the approach to writing a business plan, to preparing a business plan, and to actually to analyzing the investment opportunity is pretty much the same. And you'll tell me if you came across something different. Okay, let's start. Before we start talking about it in more detail, have you heard about storytelling approach? Okay. Storytelling approach is actually quite a useful approach and quite popular to present. And the way we ask our companies that we work together, we ask them to use the storytelling approach to present their business. Why is it so? Because your business is not only a product, your business is not only a technology, your business is a combination of things that makes it attractive for an investor to put money in. And those things are apart from the product and apart from the technology, those things include market opportunity, team, the way you plan to monetize the business and the product. So all this together makes the idea an attractive business. And when we talk about a business plan, so the key thing here is business. And when you think about it, you should realize that not any idea is a potential business. And you should think about it, how you are going to get this idea, to convert this idea into a business. So storytelling is a way to present your story, to present your investment opportunity to invest and get an investor involved in your story, engaged. So it's actually absolutely the same as if you're writing an interesting story and you have to get an investor engaged from the very first page because they don't have too much time. They spend, let's say, a couple of minutes looking through the presentation, and if it's not there, if you didn't present the idea, so it's a waste of time. So these are basically the key blocks, the key sections of a business plan. Executive summary, market analysis, product description, strategy, business model and monetization, financials, your financial forecasts, and team. The sequence of sections doesn't mean the importance, you know. But this is just the way the story goes. So when you start thinking about your business, you should first think about the market you are going to operate in and whether your product or your idea can fit this market, whether there is an opportunity for this product, and how would you decide whether there is an opportunity there. You should probably think about the pains your product or your idea or your potential business is going to solve for potential customers. And this is always true not only for business-to-customer businesses, so-called B2C. This is also true for business-to-business businesses. So you should think about your potential clients, the market where those clients are, and what pains they've got. So in order to understand so whether your product is there or not. So first of all, to decide whether there is a market for this kind of business, you should look at the market overall. Like, what if you're going to capture the whole market? For example, if we say about, let's say, a very popular thing like online travel businesses. So you know that people do traveling a lot, people buy tickets, people book accommodations, and so on. And all this is a potential market. But when we are thinking about the online segment of this business and people who used to do online booking or who are potentially maybe thinking about doing online booking. So this makes your potential market a little bit narrower because not all people have this experience yet, but this part of the market, those people or those customers who don't have the experience relevant for your product, might be a growth driver for you, potentially, if you make your product right. So you see? So then your potential market at the moment, like at the moment we are looking at it, is those people or those customers who are used to using this kind of product, or maybe they've got the relevant behavior that would fit your product. So, and then if you think a little bit to the next stage, you've got your potential market share. So we thought that there is the whole market, then there is the part of potential customers who may use your product, and then there is a market share that you as a standalone business can capture in this market. Because, well, probably if we speak about technology businesses, there are no boundaries for them. IT businesses, barriers to entry are quite low. You don't need to invest a lot of money to develop a website or to develop a program. So this makes this market quite competitive, and you should think about other potential players who are in the market or maybe who are not yet in the market. So this is kind of a bridge to your potential market share. And this potential market share is actually the first thing the investor looks at when deciding whether it's interesting for him or for her, whoever it is, to invest in the market with this capacity, with this potential growth. And I saw a lot of times situations when people presented their projects and they missed this thing about the market and the market opportunity. So it's not only about the market, it's actually a combination of the market and an opportunity in this market. And this should be together big enough for an investor to get interested in this business. So this is the first step to present your idea. Here is some just examples of the possible graphics, how you can describe the growth, how you can present, for example, the segments in the market. But it always varies depending on what kind of market you are going to operate in and what is the segmentation of customers, whether there is a consolidation there. So this is always a matter to think about it, but the approach is basic. So we discussed this. Estimate your market share and analyze competitive landscape. Another important thing, nearly crucial thing, to know your peers and your potential competitors not only in your potential market, but also abroad. To know success stories and failure stories, because this is what expects you to know. And this means that you've done like homework, you've looked at other businesses, you looked at other success stories, and you picked up those lessons that other companies maybe didn't pick up. So this is the kind of thing. So you should think about your market and about your competitors a little bit broader. So for example, for Russian companies, for Russian startups, it's quite easier probably than for, let's say, American startups, because Russian market is not yet mature market, if we are talking about internet market. And that's why many people expect it to come exactly the same path as, for example, other mature markets like the UK or the US. And in this sense, it might be easier to present an opportunity and to have examples of success stories in other markets. So when you're operating in maybe in other markets, American or UK, it is probably a bit more challenging, but still, you should think broader about potential competitors. You should know all potential companies that are doing this or maybe failed already or built a successful business. So this is the kind of thing an investor expects you to know and tell him. And this actually shows your awareness of the business that you're going to build. Going next. Again, some examples of graphics. This is kind of a network, very useful to show the differences in profiles. For example, if you develop a product, technological product, which has got some substitutes or which has got some, you know, competitors in the market, you can analyze different functionalities of this product. For example, if you are an online classified website, so you've got different functionalities that distinguish your product in the market. For example, the completeness of the database for potential user, the relevancy of the information on the website, and some other useful features like convenience of search, actually all those things that create user experience for a customer. So all these things you should really be thinking about when doing a development of a technology, of a product. And you should first think about the potential customer of your product, whether it would fit their needs or not. And it's always good actually to, even though you're not yet ready to enter the market and you sit in your garage and wait till, you know, the right moment, it's always useful to talk to people and get their feedback. Because it's just easier to make little mistakes and improve your product rather than, you know, go to the market with an untested product and then fail. Going next. Analysis of external and internal factors that might affect your business. What are we talking here about? You're entering a new market. There are some companies in the market which may increase the probability of you being successful. And you should understand, what are your key competitive advantages? What are key threats for you? What are opportunities and what are weaknesses of your business? So this is a comprehensive analysis, and this analysis actually makes a basis for your further strategy in this market. So it's not only like I've got a product and I will try to sell it. You should really think about it. What if anybody else is going to enter the market with similar product? What am I going to do in this case? And the idea of a business plan, again, is about planning and is about business. So you should be prepared for anything that can happen in the market. And you should present an investor with a reliable and with a realistic story of how you are going to compete in this market. going next. So, as I said already, understanding the key advantages and weaknesses, understanding opportunities and threats in the market, not only internal but external as well, make it available for you to create a strategy. So strategy is actually something long-term, as we understand it. And this long-term vision is exactly what investor expects you to tell them. Because it's not just like you go to an investor and you say, I've got a product, I need money to develop it. Investor would like to know where you would like to be in, let's say, 3 or 5 years or even more with this product. And what is your roadmap in order to achieve this? So this is all about advanced planning and about understanding your market and about understanding your customer. So as we discussed, strategy normally consists of several sections again. And those sections are key essentials of your business. So it's not only market, it's not only product again. It's a combination. It's normally a product. It's your customers, so it means how would you do marketing, how you would reach to your customers, how you would promote your brand or whatever, how you would promote your product to your customers, what channels you are going to use to attract your customers. So you should think about all these things. Sales again. How you are going to do sales. What is your monetization channel? So if it's internet business, whether it's an advertising model, whether it's a lead generating model, whether it's something else, whether it's a software as a service model. So it's not something that is predetermined for your particular product. Sometimes there are options. And those options might depend on the customer segment, for example. For some customers, you can use one monetization model. For another segment, you can use a different monetization channel. So it's always about thinking how you would maximize the, let's say, the value of your business. Also, through choosing the right monetization model and through choosing the right client segment and through choosing the right marketing strategy to reach to this customer. And this is all. So a business plan is not just a document. It's a document with a story behind, and this story implies a lot of analysis in it. Going next. So financing, of course, you've got to know how much money you would need to make this business happen, actually, and make it successful. And this is always not just a figure. It's a figure with some understanding of how you're going to spend this money, what is your key priorities, how many people you need in your team to scale the business up to the size you would like it to be. Going next. So as I said, you've got the long-term vision and the long-term strategy and understanding where you would like to be with your business and where you would like the investor to go with you in your business. And then there is a more detail. There is a lower level of strategy planning. You've got a roadmap where you would need to plan all those activities in different areas, as we said, product, financing, marketing. So you need to plan all activities, how you would implement your strategy and how you would grow your business to the scale that you would like to be. Going next. This is actually the very, very, very interesting and very useful concept, which is used sometimes in a modified way by many people in the world. And I guess many of you know what it is. This is actually a canvas, business model canvas. And this particular is, as we said, inspired by Osterwalder's book, Business Model Generation. And this is exactly about combination of different things. So you've got this, so what is important? So before we discussed all those things that form a business, so what is important? On the cost side, you've got partners who would help you to, let's say, to make this business. It might be some suppliers, it might be other partners for promoting your product. So all stakeholders that might be useful for your business to make it successful. Then you've got key activities. So this is something that's going on inside the team. So you've got the development team, you've got the marketing team, and there are a lot of different activities that are going on, and you should plan for it, and you should understand what capabilities you need in your team to perform these activities. That brings us to key resources. So what people you need in your team, and how many of them, actually. It's also an important question. On the revenue side, actually, this all is relevant to revenue. You've got client segments, as we discussed. Thinking first about the customer, understanding their pain points, and matching their pain points with the features of your product. So these are client segments. So, for example, sometimes you might think that your product is perfect for one segment, but in fact, it may be vice versa. Maybe there is another segment in the market, and this segment would be much more satisfied with your product. And this is also a matter of testing, a matter of understanding your key segment, key client segment. So then we've got client relations. Client relations is, as we said, about marketing and about promotion. It's about creating a perception among customers of your product. What would make you distinctive among other competitors, among other products in the market? Then you've got sales channels. Sales channels, it's what we discussed about monetization channels. How you're going to sell this product and how you're going to price this product. So just maybe a couple of, I mentioned already a couple of examples, and we may just try to structure it a little bit. So for internet business, so just brief question. So how many of you have got technology businesses but not internet? Okay, internet business? Okay, so what kind of businesses you are thinking about? I'm just interested. Okay, let's assume if nobody, it's understandable, it's all commercial secret, and I wouldn't push you to disclose any sensitive information. So let's assume that we are in internet business. So internet business, again, can be for like physical people, for consumers, and for businesses. And this is normally, their monetization channels, monetization mechanisms, normally differ. So you should also understand this when planning how to monetize your product. And this is all here. And on the top of this, you've got a value proposition. So value proposition is actually an intangible thing, and it's something you just need to understand what makes your product valuable for your potential customers and what makes your product, let's say, competitive on the cost side and makes it distinctive from other products in the market. So I really just sincerely advise you to use this canvas when you think about your business, your potential business. And none of these elements is less important than another. So this all works together. Going next. Now we've got to financial. So just coming a little bit step back. So we thought about market. We and identified the market opportunity, so which means the niche or a new market where we can go, where we can create a successful business. So this is exactly what the story starts with. Then we understood our client segments, we understood our key advantages, we planned for the strategy. Let's assume that all works together, and now we need to understand the numbers. So how much it would cost us to develop this business, and how much we would earn here. And this is actually equals to how much investor would earn there, because for an investor, this is always about the upside. So there is a high probability of failure at early stage, but at the same time, there is a big reward. There is a high reward, and that's why. So investing money at the very early stage, investor expects to get more than 10 times growth in the value of the business. So, and to understand whether it's possible at all, you need to understand the financials of your business, of your prospective business. Maybe just a couple of things to know. If you decide to raise financing from venture capital firm or from an institutional investor, which is not necessarily the only thing that you can do, don't forget about such a thing as 3F. You know this: friends, family, and fools. So this is normally the probably the most convenient source of money at the early stage of the business, because this normally is not that expensive and it's not that terrible if you fail, because these are people that you trust, and it's just a different approach. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, at some point of time, inevitably you will have to raise some money on the market from VC firms or from, let's say, maybe from some strategic potential investors in this industry. So what is important to know, for many investors, there is an investment cycle. So there is a period of time during which investor expects the business to grow, and investor wants to exit the business in order to get money. So he first gives you money, and then he wants them back. But let's say in 3 or 5 or maybe even more, yes. And it always depends on the market where you're in. For example, if you've got a lot of research and development in your business, this makes it longer to reach break-even. Or if you are in internet business, this normally is perceived as a very, you know, low capital intensive business, and you don't need much money to get to break even. So this all matters for an investor. So let's assume we've got about 3 to 5 years of a period for an investor to exit the business. So we, as an investor, we would like to understand where the business would be at this, after these 5 years. So this brings us to financial model. So financial model, I didn't tell this in the beginning, but I'm originally not from the financial, let's say, corporate finance world. I've started working in tax and legal, and I've got to know a lot of things about operational things. Then I moved to corporate finance, and I started working with financial modeling. And, I've got a perception that sometimes people who originally come to corporate finance world, they keep this as a secret. So financial modeling is something, really nearly a rocket science. It's not a rocket science. So my advice is always, you should think about your business logically. You should understand what is on your cost side and what is on your revenue side. How your sales funnel works. So you should really understand all those logical things. And after that, it's just an Excel. And we all know how to use an Excel for writing formulas. So financial model is about, it's not about Excel. It's about understanding the business and understanding the logic and understanding the key assumptions of your business. So in a startup, let's say at an early stage, more than 80% of assumptions would be just management estimates, which are not proven. And this is the area of uncertainty for an investor and for you. And as you go along your roadmap, as you go to the market, and you get more and more information about different things in your business, you may be proof, or you understand that you were wrong and you need to change the assumptions in your business. So this is all like a continuous validation of your business. We're not going to talk much time about financial modeling, because this is really just understand your business and then it's easy. Importantly, for a startup, I would say that financial model shouldn't really go beyond this line. So this all is just for understanding the connections about different forms of financial statements. But for a startup, you just need to understand what is your potential profit and loss statement. Balance sheet is not that important. Cash flow, it is important, but it's just easier. So you can easily plan it. The information from the financial model doesn't only give you the information about the scale of the business in the future. It also gives you an answer about how much money you would need to grow this business. And you understand the deficit in the cash flow, and then you decide how much money you would need to ask the investor to give to you. And so, again, financial model is a reflection of your business model and is a reflection of your strategy. Because as we discussed, you need to plan for activities and you need to plan for, let's say, different initiatives, different marketing campaigns, and all those planning things, they create a framework for your financial model. So you understand when you need to hire more people to develop the product. So then it means that you need to increase expenses, increase salary expenses, and so on. So this is just a simple logic, and we've got a story that now came onto financials. Important thing about valuation. Discounted cash flow valuation doesn't really work for startups. So don't spend time on calculating the net cash flows, on calculating the discount factor. It's at an early stage, it's just a waste of time. You need to understand the financials, the revenues, the cost side, and then it's just a matter of negotiation. Because when you're not yet in the market, your business doesn't have a value. So the value is a result of a deal with an investor. And then it's also a result of your negotiation skills and of your capabilities and how good you can engage an investor into the story. So this is just to describe. So you've got the overall financial projections, and then depending on the business, on the type of business, you need maybe to present the structure of your revenues, the structure of your expenses. What you're doing here, actually, you're presenting your understanding of your business. It's like an exam for you that you prove that you understand and you prove that you know how to grow this business. And this is exactly what an investor expects to see. Because they won't teach you how to do this, how to do business. They would like to earn money. Going further. So, as I said in the beginning, there is a couple of things that makes an investment opportunity a unique and attractive to an investor. Market opportunity, it's your product and it's your team or people who who are doing this business, who are developing this product. When you've got time, you can look through some websites of venture capital firms. And normally, you would be surprised how consistent they are in their expectations. So these are really three things that just must have in the business for a business to be attractive for an investor. So, and then team, it's not just people. So you need also to think about how to present your team, what capabilities you've got. This is an example just of an organizational chart, sorry. And there are, three the most important things in an early stage business. So you would need to understand who is responsible for your product development, because, well, product development is probably the key thing at the beginning. And if you don't have such a person in your team, that's very bad. You need to find such a person, because for a technology business, a technology person is just something taken for granted. Then you've got a commercial person, which would be responsible for business development and for sales, who would help you to move this product forward, to promote it to the market. And the third important things, it's marketing. Well, sales and marketing, they are very, very similar, but marketing, it's more about, you know, getting your customers attracted by the product, and sales, it's about converting, like, let's say, the interested customers into the real customers. So if we think about the sales funnel, you've got several steps of conversion, right? You've got a simple example, let's take, again, an internet website. You've got a user that just browses, maybe occasionally through the search, find himself or herself on your website, and then you need to make it happen that this user convert, this user go through different, let's say, behavioral patterns on your website that creates you money. For example, if your business model is an advertising model, you need to generate views, right? Or you need to generate clicks on some contextual links. Or you need to generate some actions that for which your partners or your paying clients would pay. So for example, if a user came to your website, didn't like the interface, and just left, so this is not what you would like to be. You would like this user to go further. You would like this user to spend time on your website. So this is about understanding how this funnel, sales funnel, and how all these conversions work together. What makes your customer, what makes your user stay on your website longer? This is not necessarily different people in a startup. Sometimes, and actually quite often, it happens that all these capabilities exist within one person. Well, the founder of a company or the owner of the idea. But as the business grows, as it matures, you need to scale your team. You need to focus on some particular, let's say, areas. So you need actually to expand those capabilities across the team, and you need to probably establish some specialized team in your company which would be responsible for this area. But this is also, again, about presenting this to investor. You've got a team, and you need to present that you've got all necessary capabilities in your team to make this business successful. So these capabilities ensure that you understand, again, you understand all those things that we've discussed before. You understand the market, you understand how to develop the product and actually what to develop. You understand your customer and understand how to reflect on their needs. Going back. And this is actually one of the most important slides in the presentation, again, your team. So the previous one was just about some general things, which capabilities you need in your business. And this is about personalities. This is about your, particularly you, and you present yourself, and you present what kind of experience you've got, what kind of expertise you've obtained, working maybe in relevant or maybe not very relevant businesses. Well, and this is actually, you need to be quite creative here, and you need to sometimes to think about yourself as a very, very unique and ambitious person. So this always helps. Okay. Then you need to, so before it was kind of a story. So this is what we are going to do. This is what who we are and what we are going to do and whom we are going to sell. But this is what we have achieved so far. So this is kind of a proof of your words, so what you already told to investor, and maybe then it would appear that not all this was true actually, but this what makes it more realistic, this what makes this story a little bit more reliable and trustworthy. It's not necessarily that you would have this kind of data, or well, maybe it's just your first month of operation, but even though you should think whether there is anything in your business and whether there is any achievement already, maybe you've got your prototype ready, maybe you've tested it, maybe, well, whether there is something that you can present as the proof of your words. Even, let's say, even though execution of the business, it's the key thing for an investor. If the story is very interesting and an investor likes your story and ready to invest money in it, then it goes to an execution. Whether your team is capable of executing this idea, and it's difficult to prove your execution capabilities without real results. This is about proving that you can execute, that you can, let's say, develop the product, that you can plan for, let's say, marketing campaigns, whatever. Just need to think what is relevant for your business and what can show that you are capable of doing this. So here are just a couple of examples of what might happen along the timeline with a company. So this is actually, this is a business plan. And this is, I would say, the best practice business plan, how it is recommended to do, to present it to the investor. Well, it might be, again, depending on the business, depending on the type of business, there might be some specifics, but at the end of the day, it's all about understanding your canvas and understanding all those blocks in your canvas and presenting it in the right way. I think that's it actually. Yeah, if you have questions we can discuss, or maybe you would like to know a little bit more about some particular things, and I will think, I will try to think if I wanted to say something more. No questions? How much more, how much time we've got? Oh, I was just exactly on time. Good planning. Thank you. Questions? Thank you.
So guys, before you leave, I would ask you just to fill this form, this evaluation form. If you don't have it in your seat, just come to me and grab some of it. And I welcome, I really welcome you to ask questions.
Yeah. So just coming back to the purpose of my session today, I really didn't plan to teach you how to write the business plan. My objective for today's session was to help you to establish the right mindset for doing the business. Yeah.
Statistically, as you know, 95% of startup companies fail.
Right.
And do you think
Well, it's statistically those 95%, let's say, they normally fail at the very early stage. And I'm actually quite sure that most of them didn't have the business plan in place, because, you know, many businesses just start suddenly without proper planning and without thinking about whether this might be a big business. So, and maybe without thinking about real pain needs, pain points of the customers. So, well, of course, it's not only business plan. It's also, it might be again an execution problem, which also actually quite a big issue normally at the early stage, because in my experience, I would say there are two types of startups, either initiated by people from with relevant technology background, but without proper financial background. And there is an opposite side. Some there are people who understand this kind of business planning, modeling, and how you can do the financials and how you can grow the business and at what valuation you can exit. But they don't understand the technology side, and as a result of this, they can't match the needs and features of the product. So this, you need always to find the right balance. So I think any extreme is not good here. So it's if you are a technology person, you need to understand some financials, of course, and you need to think about your product as a business and not just a product. It might be a cool program, it might be just a cool website, but if we are here to talk about business, then business is just financials. Well, I don't know if I answered your question. Yes, have some sort of business plan.
Measured of time, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, because there are lots of variables, yeah. As you said, assumptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those assumptions don't match the reality.
Right, exactly. So you need actually to come back to your assumptions and to think about it.
Yeah,
whether your understanding of the market was at all right. Or maybe in 3 months you would realize that, well, there is no opportunity in this market. What would I do next? So, and it's a tough decision whether to, you know, close your startup and do something else.
Sometimes what I think is even putting effort to plan a business plan, sometimes it's just a waste of time. Because
well, of course, we're not talking here about... Right. Well, again, for me, a business plan is not just a presentation, it's not a paper. What we discussed here is about understanding and then presenting your understanding. How you would do it maybe even without a paper. So this is, and just one more comment I've just recalled that I wanted, what I wanted to tell you. We started the presentation from a structure of the in business plan, and there was the section called executive summary. So executive summary, it's a short version of your story, but it's still the same story. It's not if you've got two pages in executive summary, it's something, you know, just a part of the story. No, it should be just the whole complete story. And even more important, because this executive summary goes in the very beginning of the presentation, this is actually the most important slides in the presentation. And I would say this is a reflection of this Pareto efficient ratio, where you've got 20% of the volume, but you've got 80% of the result at the end of the day in terms of investors' interest. Yeah. Well, I would say, of course you can, but you should understand that consulting company won't do a business for you, right? So they can help you to understand your market, they can help you to understand your customer, but it's for you to decide whether this kind of, you know, makes sense to make a business here, Well, they can help, of course, to present, to write a business plan, to present your business in the most attractive way, I would say, because, of course, that's what we normally do. We're trying to help people to understand the opportunity and maybe to understand that there is no opportunity there. Well, but, of course, you can get people to help you, but as a business owner, you need to understand some things yourself. So you can't just rely on some people to tell you that it's like this. It's your business, it's your responsibility for the investor's money or for your own money and for your time. So, and it's not again about business planning, it's about some common sense, some things that are really natural, that are each of us is just the customer, and reflecting on yourself, on your behavior, you can understand how would you behave. Would you buy or not?
Should we have an exit plan in the business?
Sorry, say again?
Should we have an exit plan for
business? Yes, well, exit.
Exit plan, what should be included?
Exit plan, yes. You should understand the potential exit options for your business. We're talking about exit for the investor, right? Yes. At the beginning of your business, you should understand what options are available. Usually it's not many of them. It's normally an IPO, if it's a technological company, or it's a sale to a strategic buyer, let's say, which would buy 100% of your company. Or maybe there are some other options, but it's all about M&A, actually. And you should understand the profile of the market. You should understand if there are any, let's say, big companies who would be interested in your products. So this is, I would say that, yes, you should understand those options, but you can't plan for them. So this is actually a matter of time. Maybe in 2 years you would realize that there is another exit option. But, of course, an investor would ask you about what kind of exit you expect here, and if there is no exit here, if there is no clear opportunity for exit, then it means that investor won't be able to get money back, won't be able to get liquidity back. And this might be a deal breaker for an investor if an exit option is not obvious. So yes, well, in terms of whether to include it in the business plan or not, you might mention a couple of words about just understand when you're on the right. When you describe your market, you can mention a couple of words about this, that there are some companies that could be interested in this product or could be interested in partnering with you, or maybe another good actually suggestion, you might put it on your roadmap if you are planning for an IPO there. So this is all about just understanding the whole, having a vision, where you would go. And in terms of exit, yes, it's also a key milestone for the business and for an investor. Okay. Any more questions? Good. No questions. I hope that I achieved my objective. Okay, you're welcome. I'm here the whole day. You're welcome to come and ask whatever you want. Thank you very much for your attention and your time. I hope you've got some spare time to enjoy the city. I hope you've got some spare time to enjoy the city.